D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes, intern Emily. We're all with you today.
Yes.
I do want to give a shout-out to start the show to the gentleman I saw at the intersection of White Bridge Road and Post Road this morning in Nashville as I was taking my son to school, who was rocking out playing the most epic air guitar I've ever seen in public while wearing a Discman.
Wow.
A Discman.
A Discman?
A Discman.
How, wow.
How do the headphones look?
I need to interview this guy because I want to know how you do.
Wired over the ear headphones.
Oh, wow.
That's wired. Old school.
Did you think you were in a time machine for a second?
I said, Arlo, look at that guy rocking out. And he goes, who's rocking out? I said, that man right there. Shout out to that gentleman who was getting on the bus. He was crossing the street. He was riffing up a storm, man. I'm more of an air drummer than an air guitarist.
I think air guitar looks cooler in public than the air drum. Don't you think, Willie?
I think both can be considered very cringy.
Air guitar. It's just,
I think I'm a more natural air drummer myself than air guitar.
So we got two drummers and an air guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
We can make a band.
Are you an air band? Are you? I had a buddy in high school. He was so mad.
Airbenders.
Yeah. Yes.
He wanted to enter the talent show with his buddies as an air band and perform in the school talent show, and they didn't let him in. He was like, why?
What song was he going to play?
I forget what song.
In the air tonight?
In the air tonight.
You could.
By the way, did you know that there is a U.S. Air Guitar Championship?
It is?
It's on TV.
Yes.
What?
I stumbled on something like that on one of the channels. It was like ESPN or something.
Let me read you the rules. The standard rules of play for the U.S. for the U.S. Air Guitar Championship. Round one, freestyle. Each competitor performs to a song of their choice. Round two, top competitors from round one perform surprise song. This year's live regionals will abide by the standard U.S. air guitar performance rules. Each performance is played to 1 minute of a song. The 60 seconds can start anywhere in the song. The instrument must be invisible and must be a guitar.
Dang it.
So what are they?
Backup bands, real or air, are not allowed.
So
how
do they judge this? Is it by movement?
It's creativity.
Is it by making sure you hit every, are they watching your fingers? Because me, it's just me. So are they watching to see if you actually hit the chord? That'd be interesting.
I've never been asked to judge.
Us three.
Okay, we'll start.
Air drummers, air guitar. Who gonna be the air singer? Emily, there she is.
While we ponder this, we do have some breaking Predators news. Ooh. Barry Trotz has announced that the team has hired Luke Richardson as an assistant coach. Richardson is replacing Todd Richards on Andrew Burnett's staff, joining assistant coaches Derek McKenzie, Darby Hendrickson, and Ben Vanderklok. So Luke Richardson in as an assistant coach, replacing Todd Richards. Luke Richardson was head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks most recently. I believe he also had a tenure as an assistant coach for the Montreal Canadiens. So
correct.
Luke Richardson, former Blackhawks head coach, joining the Predators as an assistant coach, replacing Todd Richards.
I'm looking over Luke Richardson's playing career, and I'm looking to see if he crossed paths at all with Andrew Burnett or anyone in the Predator circles. I don't see it off the top of my head, but Luke Richardson played 1,400-plus games in the league as a defenseman. And as you know, if you follow the Predators, you follow the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks haven't been very good. He got canned as the Blackhawks coach last year. He had no chance of winning. But I think he's considered a bright coaching prospect, still relatively young. I mean, I guess for coaches, maybe more middle of the road, 56 years old. But here's what I think they have in mind here, and I'm curious what Barry Trotz has to say about this afternoon. I'm really looking forward to this press conference. But defense. He is a defenseman. The defensemen on the Predator team right now lack attention to detail. They need to develop some of these guys. When you look at some of the effective decors, it's not always superstar here, superstar over here. It's really about, a lot of times, for at least three of the guys on your defense corps, like you need a couple of studs, but you need the other guys to really be fits with the system. Nico Mikkola, who was he before he went to the Panthers? Nobody. Barely playing. He was a healthy scratch a lot of times. Gustav Forsling, the most famous. Healthy scratch all the time, playing for wherever he was playing. Chicago was one of them. Picked up off the waiver wire, he's a stud. Now, those are extreme examples. But good teams can take a defenseman and get the most out of him. I don't think the Predators were in that category at all last year. They did not have excellent. They did not have good attention to detail. So I'm hoping Luke Richardson can help in that area. I would guess that's going to be his area. That's what Todd Richards' area was last year, although Todd Richards has been a little bit of everything in his career. And so I don't know that Luke Richardson specializes in defense development, but he was a longtime defenseman in the league that should have some things to teach.
So Barry Trotz is scheduled to address reporters at 3 o'clock. As soon as that is over, Trotz will join Jared Stillman on Stillman & Company. So I would say the latter half of the 3 o'clock hour, 3:30, 3:40, somewhere around there. Jared will give us a more specific time
now,
later.
Let's address what will obviously be the low-hanging fruit.
Head coach. Former head coach.
He's a former head coach.
And that's what I was thinking. I was going to go the Stillman route.
Yeah. I think that there will be a lot of people wondering about that.
But
You've got a guy on your staff that is a head coach, and you hope that he can mesh with Andrew Brunette. You hope it works out, right? But if it doesn't, like there's going to be, we mentioned this, when they decided to keep Andrew Brunette, we knew right away he would be at the top of the list of coaches on the hot seat. And if they get off to a poor start, you will hear rumblings. They can't help that. They cannot control that. And so this will only just be another guy that could fuel speculation, right?
So in a situation like that, and I'm not saying that this is why or this could potentially happen to the Predators, but in situations like that, wouldn't that cause more of a distraction than anything? Because you got somebody on your staff that was a former head coach, and you even said, listen, there's not many that could have won in Chicago last, so many years.
His record in Chicago, he coached 190 games, according to the NHL. He had a record of 57, 118, and 15.
Well, that's not good by any stretch of the imagination.
And but they knew they were going to
Yeah, but yes. It's like, wouldn't that cause more of a distraction if things aren't going the way Nashville in this situation, but any team, when you have a guy on a hot seat and you get off to a, say in the first 10 games, first 10 games, you end up losing four of them. I mean, or five of them. You're going to be on a hot seat.
Let's just define it as a general shaky start.
Exactly. A shaky start. You're going to hear, and it's going to end up being a distraction.
I think it's going to depend on the people, right? This isn't, I think if it were Toronto, or a market like that, it would be a constant every day. In Nashville, I think you can manage it. It certainly would help to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
Luke Richardson is about the same age as Andrew Brunette. They played at the same time. I'm just racking my brain. Both played for a lot of different teams. I don't think they were ever on the same team. I don't know if they know each other or work together. But I think that will be important to establish, what's his role with Andrew Brunette at the top, right? Andrew Brunette has been tasked to adjust, and they still haven't made their main roster changes that we think might be coming, at least a couple of them, right? There'll be a couple significant moves between now and the start of the season, probably not a ton, but they have to decide, how do they want to play? How do they want to defend? They did not defend well last year. I know they weren't scoring, right? We know that's big. But to me, a bigger problem, the biggest problem, was their defensive structure, attention to detail was poor. So if he's being brought in to do that, that's probably what they're going to talk about a lot today. But they will not be able to avoid the question of here's a coach who is being a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of – he will be viewed as a guy from afar as, well, you've got him there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time in the league if that scenario happened.
And you had that stat, right, Adam? If you fire a head coach, the bump is what?
It's significant.
Yeah.
It's well, maybe not significant. It's noticeable mm-hmm. that teams that fire coaches in the NHL, they do get a bump in the standings. This was the quote from Barry Trotz in the news release. Quote, Luke brings a wealth of NHL experience as both a player and coach to our staff, and we are excited to welcome him and his family to the organization. With that experience, we believe he will be a valuable new voice and set of eyes, not just for our defensemen, but for our coaching staff.
Mm.
His strong character, leadership, perspective as a former NHL head coach, and ability to connect with both young and veteran players will elevate our team on and off the ice. And as we discussed, Luke Richardson.
They said in there, Todd Richards is not going to be back?
Okay. Todd Richards. At the same time, I want to thank Todd Richards. This is Barry Trotz in the news release. At the same time, I want to thank Todd Richards for his contributions to the Predators over the past five seasons and wish him well in his next endeavor. And as we said, Luke Richardson, former head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. And there were two things that happened early in the season last season in Chicago that raised some eyebrows. The first was Luke Richardson was criticized for scrambling his line combinations too often, particularly with Connor Bedard. There were times where he shifted Bedard, who is a natural center, to the wing and played him in more of a defensive role with more defensive-minded players. I remember there was also this issue with Taylor Hall before Taylor Hall was traded to Carolina, where Richardson scratched Hall, and Hall said that it came out of nowhere. He didn't have much conversation with Richardson about the decision. But
I will say this about that whole thing, the swapping up the lines. Terry Crisp has a huge file of Crispy-isms that I have filed away. Mm-hmm. That I love as using my sort of basic adages when learning the game. Here's what he said. And this was in reference to the early Predators teams that were expansion. Mm-hmm. And they had no real talent, right? The rules were different. These were guys off the scrap heap. So I was asking him one time at a morning shift, I was like, Crispy, boy, Trotzy, he really likes to shake up those line combinations, mm-hmm. doesn't he? Because it always, when you shake up the lines, everybody starts talking about it. All the media, well, he's shaking up the lines. He goes, Willie, I told Trotzy the other day, you can shuffle the deck all you want, but if all you got is twos and threes in the deck, you're going to come out with twos and threes whatever you shuffle.
No matter how you slice
it. And so he had an ace in Connor Bedard, but he had a lot of twos and threes.
He had a lot of twos and threes. So
what are you going to do?
The Predators have hired former NHL head coach Luke Richardson as an assistant coach, replacing Todd Richards on the bench. Again, Barry Trotz will address reporters, I believe, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, but he will join Jared Stillman right after that for an exclusive interview with Jared Stillman.
So two 1,000-plus game coaches, or two 1,000-plus game players mm-hmm. as coaches on the staff. That's got to be unique. I wonder how often that has ever happened.
That's a good question.
In the league.
Maybe I can find out.
Yes, okay. Did you notice? See the light go on with Adam when I said
ding!
That? He was like, ding!
And he has found it.
I can find
no,
that.
I have not found
oh,
that.
Found
that's interesting.
You know,
interesting.
You know I love
factoid.
You know
hey, guys,
I love
keep
factoid.
Talking. I'm looking for it.
Joey from Bellevue, back to our previous conversation, Joey from Bellevue said, I have a Walkman. I showed it to my son, and he was like, what's that? LOL.
Hey,
yeah, we were about to
is.
Talk
yeah.
about the Walkman.
Yeah,
if you can be mobile at all with a Walkman, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
thing starts jumping. And
the gentleman I saw had the Walkman, and he must be left-handed.
But it was a disc, right?
Yes, it definitely was a Walkman. He must be left-handed because he was carrying the Walkman in his right hand.
No, wait a minute. You're saying Walkman?
Yes. Discman. Sorry. Discman.
Because a Walkman
is a
you can run all day with the tape in there. Yeah. I still have it. I don't know if I could get mine to work.
Tomato, tomato.
The Discman is a whole different deal trying to move around.
He must be left-handed because he had the Discman in his right hand and he was strumming, air strumming with his left hand. And I was impressed. I almost wanted to roll down the window and give him a round of applause. But I thought that might be a little bit weird.
That might have been a little weirdish.
Right. I mean, I did have a Discman at one point. I sort of came in near the tail end of the Discman era. Then I had an iPod, like a lot of people did. Like kids these days. David and Emily, did you ever have a burned CD?
Of course.
Okay.
David's not that. He may look younger, but he's not.
I can guarantee you that somewhere Connor Newt is listening and goes, "A burned CD?
Oh,
why is it on fire? Why is it on fire?
Why would you burn a CD?
Why didn't you just put it out? I mean, come on."
I even remember the days where you had to buy singles on iTunes. You wanted that one song, you had to pay 99 cents for the song.
Oh, the worst.
Ooh. That was the worst. It wasn't like now you pay a flat rate on Spotify or Apple Music and everything is at your fingertips. So I do want to give a shout out to the gentleman that I saw today at the bus stop, just rocking out. We need more of that.
Quickly, I was coming up on, 24 East going toward, obviously, Chattanooga, but I was coming to work and come up off of the Thompson Lane, Briley exit. But before you come off on that exit, there's two huge, what I appear to be dogs laying there. They're dead.
I saw that.
I wonder if someone, I don't know who to call. It's just two of them laying there, and they're laying in a position where I think somebody put them there. I don't know who to call.
I thought it was a wolf.
Yeah, I thought it was wolves too. And I called my car. I'm like, are there wolves in Nashville? Because I don't know. Mm. And they were both just laying there on the side of the road. So if anybody ride past them again and you know someone that you can call, an authority or something, please do that. Because I'm rushing to work and I didn't know who to call, to see if someone can come out and, you know, pick both of the dogs up. It was just a sad to see. I don't know if they got hit or they died. You know, because it was so hot yesterday and it's been hot this morning. I don't know, but they're laying there on the side of the road on the 24 East Briley exit.
I did see that.
Just a couple more tidbits on Luke Richardson.
We're all over the place in this opening segment.
This is so real time. This is a real time radio show, right? This guy, Luke Richardson, now we're trying to get his profile, right? What does he add that they haven't had, right? We talked about defensemen. I think this is an interesting quote from Andrew Burnett, because how they mesh is going to be critical for Andrew Burnett, right? Mm-hmm. When I think of Luke Richardson, remember, they're about the same age. They both played over 1,000 games in the league, so they played a ton of games against each other.
Yes.
Aside from being one of the toughest defensemen to play against during my NHL career, I think of leadership, character, and work ethic. I'm excited to have him join our coaching staff and feel the different perspective he'll bring to our defensemen and team in general, and will make us better. We're looking forward to welcoming the former NHL captain and his family to the Predators and getting to work next season. Now, what do they also lack on the staff besides a defensive coordinator? They don't have the quote-unquote bad cop. Mm-hmm. I don't know Luke Richardson, but him as a player, and you mentioned – you know, some of his track record as the Chicago coach. I don't know if he fits that bill, but I think if you look at Luke Richardson physically, 6'4", 210, like he's more of
imposing.
A menacing guy, a tough guy, respected player. I think that will be an ingredient that is needed who can, you know, because that's just not Andrew Burnett, right? He's not wired like that. And nor are the other assistants on the staff, Darby Hendrickson, and Derek McKenzie. They're not saber rattlers. I don't know if Richardson is, but I think he is a step up in that area. So I think defense, toughness, bad cop. I think.
Do you think he can deal with some of the personalities? More importantly, Marsh Assault.
That is a great question. I'm hoping The answer is yes on that. Like, be the guy that can deliver the message a little easier. Like, hey, man, you're not getting it done. I need to see more in this area, right?
So what you're saying is that Luke Richardson is the Andy Sipowicz of the Predators coaching staff. Now, Luke Richardson does not resemble...
I think he's a little taller than Andy Sipowicz.
Doesn't resemble Dennis Franz in any way, shape, or form. But when I think bad cop, I think Andy Sipowicz.
We need to find some taller bad cops.
In the first 20 minutes, we've mentioned Luke Richardson, Andy Sipowicz, Discmans, Dead Dog slash Wolves.
Yeah, we went across the board.
We got it covered.
We covered everything.
We have run the gamut.
And it's hot as fish grease out there.
Yes, it is.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know how hot fish grease is. 615-737-1025. Luckily for us, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us next. He will get us back on track. We will talk NFL and Titans with our good friend, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. That's coming up next at 615-737-1025. You can join in on the fun as well. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This Friday, join us at Bridgestone Arena for a party like no other and celebrate the future of Smashville at the Nashville Predators 2025 NHL Draft Party. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. You can catch us at 1025 The Game on our draft night in Smashville on Friday starting at 6 o'clock. I believe Robbie Stanley and Max Herz will anchor the coverage. Willie Donick might stop by. Hal Gill might stop by. Lindsey Rolley might stop by. That starts at 6 o'clock, and it's powered by the International Brotherhood
of Donick, 1025,
1063. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by our favorite dual-threat quarterback, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. So we are about a month away from NFL training camp starting, Tim, and we need to fill the time somehow. So we're analyzing teams, which teams could be the surprise teams, so on and so forth. In your mind, which team or teams is which team is being most overhyped this offseason, and why is the correct answer the New England Patriots?
Okay. Well, listen, I think they're going to be good because I love the quarterback. Like, I love the quarterback. Now, if you say to be overhyped, I think you could go that way and just say, look, from a talent perspective, across the entire roster, they, in my estimation, were behind a bunch of other teams in the National Football League. So you just kind of look at it that way and you say, yeah, like, let's say you like the change of head coach. Let's say that you think Drake May is going to improve. And let's say that, you think that, some of their offseason acquisitions make sense for them. They're still, to turn your roster over in a year in the National Football League is hard. And so sometimes it's like, the love for a team is usually a year too early. I mean, that would be why you could say it. And look, and if you're somebody that has questions about Drake May, if you look at Drake May the way you look at Trevor Lawrence, then I think you could say, like, that's an overhyped football team.
Kidding aside, which team do you believe is perhaps getting a little bit more love this offseason than you think they deserve?
I mean, listen, I always think the Cowboys get more love than they deserve, right? Like, I look at the Cowboys – I mean, at best, they're the third best team in their division. You have the first-time head coach. You have, a quarterback that's coming off of a major injury. I feel like in terms of the amount that we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, and, I mean, if you just would run through the list and go, okay, like the third best team, which, like, I'm not even positive of that, but, like, the third best team – in each division, how much do you talk about them, right? So, like, take the AFC. We're just talking about the Patriots. Take the AFC East. Who's the third best team? The Dolphins, or is it New England? Like, are we talking about them too much? I just think if you were to do it that way, maybe the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that's the third best team, potentially, or maybe it's Pittsburgh in their division that people maybe talk about too much. So, for me, I think Dallas, there's just always so much hype. And I just think with their division, they could easily be a team that's not even a playoff team.
Tim, at the end of the offseason program, Cam Ward said his confidence level is at a 10 out of 10. Our esteemed afternoon drive host, Jared Stillman, thinks that is impossible because Cam Ward has never taken a meaningful NFL snap, and therefore, how can he be confident in his ability considering he's never done it before? Since you are a former pro quarterback, how do you feel about Cam Ward saying his confidence level is at a 10 out of 10?
Well, I like the answer, you know, because, you know, I think people can prey on you if you say, I'm like a 5, I'm going to figure it out, get a couple weeks in. So, like, I like his answer, whether it's true or not, you know, like, it's, I think the self-talk and maybe the belief in yourself is a good thing. So, and look, maybe he feels good coming out of camp where you know, or the you know, the mini camps and the OTAs and that type of stuff, because he looks at it and goes like, yeah, like, I feel like I belong. I feel like, you know, there was some success in practice. You know, I feel like, you know, while it's presumed that he's going to be the starter, that he probably felt like it went well. Like, I've seen that happen before. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I think reports from the beginning of the offseason on him were good. And I think he probably feels good about the idea that he's going to be a rookie, probably starting the opener, and feeling like he can perform well. So, you know, look, whether he truly feels that way or not, we don't know, but I think I like the posture.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, I was reading an article the other day. It was pertaining to basketball and after OKC had won a championship, and they were talking about the blueprint and how basketball has become a young man's sport because it's so fast. And Oklahoma, they're trying to figure out if anyone can duplicate their blueprint in regard to their youth and how fast they've developed. And that got me to thinking about the NFL and two teams in particular, one that tried this last year, didn't work, and one that seems to be trying it this year. The Houston Texans, 2 years ago when they drafted CJ Stroud, this was a very young team and they were explosive on offense. And then the next following year, they went and got an aging receiver and he ends up getting hurt and it ends up hampering the offense along with, you know, I think another one, Dale got hurt as well. And then you look at Washington and what they're trying to do. They add another older veteran to an offense that was pretty damn good. I'm thinking, could this potentially backfire on Washington as it did Houston? Because we believe it's such a young man's sport and speed kills. And it seems like they've diminished their speed on offense by going to get Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, and I think it's fair. I would say this, though, when I look at, you know, Washington's receivers from a year ago, he was doing it with, you know, Olamide, Zaccheaus, and others. Like, it wasn't like, you know, they had this young team that you know, in speed, like Terry McLaurin can run. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, outside of that, like, I think that he really was doing it with, you know, journeyman receivers, Downey Brown and Zaccheaus and guys like that. So, like, yes, you're right. And D-Mace, you've seen it. Like, mm-hmm. where, listen, sometimes a veteran receiver gets signed and, you know, you're like, I don't know. Like, what does he have left? Does he still run the same? And that guy's a great year. Or there's other times you sign a veteran receiver and you're like, this guy's cooked. Like, he's retired and doesn't know it yet. Like it's just, you know, like, mm-hmm. you've seen it both ways. So, look, I think Deebo Samuel, even the way he looks now, and I think he'll look different by the time the season comes around, I think he's going to be dangerous with the ball in his hands because he's so physical. And I think ultimately with, you know, the other guys that they have in that offense, I think that'll still be a good thing for Washington.
Now, two teams in particular, and it's in the AFC South, Jacksonville and Indianapolis. And I got to thinking about this when Adam asked you the question about the teams, about surprise teams and why, and you picked Dallas. I was surprised you didn't pick Indianapolis or Jacksonville, because it seems like every year Indianapolis is the team. And over the last 4 years, it's been, well, Jacksonville can finally get it. They've got another coach, another offensive mind for Trevor Lawrence, and he's finally going to get it. Have we seen, one, have we seen the best of Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, and he is what he is? And will we ever see Richardson underneath center for the Indianapolis Colts? Because so Daniel Jones is there and he's young.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I didn't choose either of those teams because I don't think either of those teams are playoff teams. I don't feel like there's a ton of hype around them. But I agree with you. It seemed that used to feel like, you know, every year it was either Jacksonville or Indianapolis was like the hot team that everybody was picking to have the breakout year. So here's what I think about Jacksonville. Do I think we've seen the best of Trevor Lawrence? I don't. But do I think that he's going to make some, you know, skyrocket type leap, you know, and all of a sudden, like, boom, figured it out? Unfortunately, I don't. You know, I thought he was an amazing prospect coming out. You know, for whatever reason, it hasn't totally clicked. There are really no excuses going forward because they've invested, you know, in first-round players all around him. So because of that, he needs to play at a really high level and start to elevate the play of people around him. As for Richardson, I think there's a chance. You know, the report came out about he's healthy, his shoulder's good, and he's going to be healthy to start camp and all that stuff. But and so maybe he starts the year. I don't think he makes it to the halfway point as the starter for Indianapolis. He just hasn't played enough football. I don't think he's going to be consistent enough. And so for that reason, when I look at Indianapolis, like, I think there's going to be a lot of angst there in terms of, you know, what, you know, the direction, you know, for the organization needs to be. I don't think it ends up being Richardson. And I think trying to figure out if it's Daniel Jones, which would be surprising, but maybe their best option. You know, I think they're going to want to try to figure that out this year. And I think it's also going to give them their best chance to win based on what we've already seen from Richardson.
So let's sort of round out the discussion, Tim, if we're touching on the other teams in the AFC South, because we were trying to, you know, sort of take a look at a general picture right now. If we believe that in some order, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo are the teams to beat in the AFC, how close is Houston to being the fourth best team in your mind?
I don't think I would say super close. Here's what I would say. I think as great as C.J. Stroud's rookie season was and the excitement around it, the thing that they did a remarkable job that year is they played incredible defense, and he didn't turn the ball over. Now, you go look at his numbers. It wasn't like it was just offensive explosion type stuff, especially, you know, the beginning part of, you know, him being the starter there. So, like, you know, I think that – that's a group where I think he's a really good player. I do think they're good around him. They need to stay healthy around him. But I don't know that the defense is where it was that first year, and I don't know that the offense is as explosive as maybe people kind of expect it to be. The team I think that could be very interesting is the Chargers. I think they're going to continue to be one of these teams that's extremely physical. I do think that their quarterback, while it hasn't been perfect, I think, you know, if you think about the guys that you talked about, you know, in the AFC, it's Mahomes, it's Lamar Jackson, it's Josh Allen. And I think that when you look at, you know, Herbert, he's actually on par physically with those guys, which I think is saying quite a bit.
One question on quarterback tutelage, because the word on Cam Ward is he's aggressive down the field, and there's already been some comments. You know, Teron from our staff has done a great job on ESPN asking about these kind of things, how Brian Callahan is teaching Cam Ward to channel the aggressiveness but also learn, you know, how to read defenses. So, in general, because you're doing it on the high school level, it's probably different on the pro level. But when you take a rookie quarterback, how aggressive would you be telling him to be in practice where there's no ramifications for an interception, but at the same time you're trying to teach him what's there and what's not? Do you start with more conservative plays, or do you encourage him to be aggressive and then sort of back down as you learn.
Yeah. No, I would not start off aggressive. I would start off by, you know, a little bit like, think about the, how everyone raved about C.J. Stroud. Like, I mean, I don't think he threw 30 touchdown passes, but he, for the longest time, I think he only had 3 interceptions that rookie year. Like, that gives you a chance. If you're not turning the football over, like, you're going to have a chance. And so, like, how, you know, I saw Andy Reid teach quarterbacks, how I feel like quarterbacks should be taught is, listen, like just take a progression read, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like you're getting through it. Like, you never, you know, pass, you know, door number 2 if it's open to see that, like, maybe you have something bigger behind door number 3. Like, you just don't do it. Like, that's that old saying, like, you're not going to go broke taking a profit. Like, so how I think you should teach all young quarterbacks is, like, you find the completion, like, you find the completion, you find the completion. And so, and there's even a saying, like, my brother says it, you know, to our quarterbacks at Hensworth. Like, it's the quarterback's job to find completions. It's the play caller's job to get first downs, you know, conversions. And so, you know, I think that you start that way. Then when a guy has mastered, you know, what you're doing, right, letting the coverage dictate where the ball goes and all that stuff, being very, then I think you can go, okay, now I'm going to look this flat defender down to get the throw in behind them. Like, now, you know, I'm going to take this shot on this vertical. Now, like, but I don't think you do that until you've mastered it. I really don't, because I think you've got to prove that you can live inside the structure of an offense before you give guys, you know, the keys to the car and saying, like, all right, you know, you go start, you know, living outside of the offense now, doing what you think is best. I think there is a natural progression to learning the position. That's how I would describe it.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, as he does every Tuesday. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas. Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Tim had to say. Coming up next, you can as well at 615-737-1025. You can join Robbie and Rex Road, although I think it's Robbie and Paul Kaharski, as they broadcast live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard on Friday. Starting at 8 a.m., the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days. Plus, 1025 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville
Aaron,
concert.
Great to see you. Great catching up. It feels as though since you signed with the Steelers, it's been, you know, I won't say more candid, but it does feel as though there's been a different, you know, vibe from you. Is it, you know, safe to say that this is your last year playing as someone who, you know, wants to savor everything? I would like to know when it is your last year, just because every time you're running through that tunnel, it'd be incredible just to say, like, hey, let's make sure we really appreciate what's going on here. Is that something you've thought about? Is that something that you know for sure? Or are you also just kind of taking it week by week, seeing how your body's feeling and seeing how the mind feels as you go throughout the season?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Congratulations, man.
Hell yeah.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show.
Why did they start clapping? Yeah.
This is your last year. Congratulations.
Yeah. Why?
Applause?
Yeah.
He goes on that show all the time.
He'd be back next week.
No one is surprised that Aaron Rodgers,
oh man,
is going to call it a career after this season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, the journalist in me was cringing through that question.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know who was asking that question. Pat McAfee has a lot of hangers on. I don't know all of their names.
Yes. They wear hats and T-shirts. And
yeah.
Chud and cowboy Bud hats sometimes. Fud. I don't know what their names
unshaven.
Are.
Unshaven.
Right. Stud.
Spit the question out, man.
Rob, land the plane.
Yes. Is this your last year, Aaron Rodgers?
He had to circle around. He had to circle around one more time.
He's got a glaze.
Got a couple windshields. So got to circle around one time.
Can I give a very quick journalism lesson
yes.
for a moment?
Oh, man.
Please do.
So
I'm sure the McAfees are listening. And
yes.
They're going
to David,
gonna
send this clip right to Indianapolis, please.
I'll make sure to do that.
The one thing I learned about asking questions is just be direct, because if you give the subject so many different off ramps, like that person was giving Aaron Rodgers, they can take that question anywhere they want. Just be direct. Be direct.
Is this your last year?
Basically.
You can't handle the truth, young man.
I understand that you want to have some tact. You don't have to go full bore, but you want to have the mix of just being concise. You don't.
Aaron, is this your last year because you're old? And
he said something about running out of the tunnel.
Running
out of the tunnel. You run out the tunnel, man. Like, you're just
we
so good.
We
want to
see you.
Like, it's just so fun to watch you play and sling the ball around, guys, you know?
Yeah.
He should have said,
there's a lot of
I don't think you can handle
the truth.
There's
a lot of idol worship on the Pat McAfee show. But nevertheless, back to Tim Hasselbeck. Willie, I thought the question you asked him at the end was interesting, talking about the approach for a young quarterback. What did you make of his response?
I wasn't 100% sure which way he was going to go. I thought him quoting his brother Matt, who's obviously involved in the Ensworth developing of how they teach young football players, is a good one. What did he say, D-Maze? It's the quarterback's responsibility to get completions.
Yes.
It's the play caller's responsibility to get first downs.
Yes.
I think that's a really interesting, simple way of teaching to a youngster. But we know that Cam Ward has that aggressive gene that got him to where he is, right? Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people talked about in the evaluation process, that he's not afraid to take the chances down the field. And I would say there's plenty of quarterbacks that have been like that. And so I was wondering if it would be backwards, right? Don't take that away from him. Don't discourage him from using his tools and sort of see what you can get away with, see what you can't. But Tim took the opposite approach. Let's build almost like the Top Gun simulators, right? You start on the simulator. You start fighting one-on-one. You fight, and then you work your way up to fighting like seven different jets, right? They have a stair-stepping thing. So I don't know what Brian Callahan has said. He said a lot, right? And I wonder if it's different for Ward than it was for Will Levis. I'm curious about that part, too. Or do you think he has one way of teaching quarterbacks?
I think when you're talking about the basics, the foundation, I think there is one way. But I think as you start to sort of, you know, get to learn the quarterback, there are some nuances in how you go about it with each individual player, each individual quarterback. And it's the same with players. You know, you may have to teach it a different way, or that player may learn a different way. So I don't think, you know, in regards to Brian Callahan changing the foundation, no, I think that's still there. But I think because of what you did with Will Levis last year, you probably learned, and hopefully you have learned from some things you may have done or didn't do, and you want to apply those things now to Cam Ward. But you're going to take a little bit of what, and Brian has already said, he's going to take a little bit of what, you know, they did in Miami to try to make things feel comfortable. At least at the beginning for Cam Ward, do some things that he likes. But as far as like the fundamentals, how you read it, I think what Tim said was right. I think, you know, especially quarterbacks that are just innately aggressive with the football, you know, whether it's a Brett Favre type or Aaron Rodgers, you know, or some of these other quarterbacks that are aggressive. But I think over time they learn how to be aggressive, but at certain times. They're careful. They're aggressively careful with the ball, if you can get what I'm saying. But with young quarterbacks, you gotta start from, listen, read this thing from bottom to top, because if you teach them to read it from top to bottom, they're always going to want to go for that big throw first. And what you're trying to do, the best way for a quarterback to get a rhythm, man, is sometimes it's just to hit those quick passes. Just like a jump shooter, make those free throws that get you in a rhythm.
And then build your range
exactly
out from there.
Unless you're Steph Curry and you just start at the three-point line. it's different.
That's an interesting thing because when I would teach my little version of basketball camps, mm-hmm. I was a camp rat. I went to a million basketball camps. But it was before the days of the three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. When I was, as an older guy, going back and doing my own basketball camp, I noticed every kid, mm-hmm. when you weren't teaching them, they would go right to the three-point line. Even my kids, you know, 8, 9 years old, let me see if I can make a three-pointer. Yeah. And they were like, you lose your mechanics, right?
Exactly.
You're just like throwing the ball up there. Mm-hmm. But they can't help it. They want to hit a three. They want to tell their buddy, it's fun to hit threes. But I would try to stress, start in, get the form, and then move back. You'll get to the point. You'll grow. You'll get stronger. You'll hit the three. So it makes a lot of sense from that. But I am curious with Ward how do you channel that ability he's got.
Wes in Clarksville on our text line said, why would Pittsburgh sign up for Rodgers knowing they only got 1 year? I don't think they have a team like Brady did in Tampa to try and go for a Super Bowl. Let me ask you this question, Wes. Would you want Mason Rudolph to be your starting quarterback? I wouldn't. Doesn't sound like a great existence. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to play a word game. This may come as a shock. I love word games. And we're going to play a word game with the Tennessee Titans. So be prepared. 615-737-1025. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville, the Jumbo Shrimp. Pre-game begins at 5:50 and the first pitch is at 6:05. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.